Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God the Father and from that transfigured Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose glory we get to see as we gather with Him on that mountain. The last Sunday before we move into the Lenten season allows us to gather with Peter and James and John as we go to that mountain of transfiguration. So as we focus our attention on this amazing event, and as we see what those disciples saw, and as we get a chance to hear what they hear, we turn our attention to the gospel account for this morning. And there in Mark chapter 9, you and I read the very first couple of words that said, after 6 days. 6 days after what? Matthew and Mark and Luke attach what happened about a week earlier to the event of the Transfiguration. So you back up into the closing words of Mark chapter 8 and you find out what this is 6 days after. Jesus had been asking his disciples, "Who do the people say that I am?" And so the disciples offered the various responses that people had said. Some think he's Jeremiah, some think he's one of the prophets. And then Jesus said, "But what about you?" And as you and I have come to expect, Peter is the one who blurts out the answer. He says, "You are the Christ." Beautiful confession. Very simple, very clear. You are the Christ. And then Jesus begins to describe for us what the Christ is going to do. This is still right at the end of chapter 8. Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the experts in the law, be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He was speaking plainly to them. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But after turning around and looking at his disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have your mind set on the things of God, but the things of men." No sooner had Peter gotten done making this amazing confession, "You are the Christ," than he begins to immediately try to talk Jesus out of doing what the Christ came to do. He didn't like the idea of suffering and being handed over to the chief priests. He didn't like the idea of the dying, and apparently didn't hear rising again from the dead. As he's busy trying to talk Jesus out of doing what he came into this world to do, Jesus turns and looks at his disciples and says some of the harshest words he said, "Get behind me, Satan." He then calls the crowd around him and basically gives the encouragement, "Don't be ashamed of me. Even if I don't quite look like you think the Christ is supposed to look, and even if I'm not necessarily doing the things you think the Christ is supposed to be doing, don't become ashamed of me." After 6 days, after about a week of allowing all of this to sink in and allowing all of this to kind of percolate in the minds of his disciples, now comes the sneak peek. We get a sneak peek as we look at the Transfiguration. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were alone by themselves. There he was transfigured in front of them. His clothes became radiant, dazzling white, whiter than anyone on earth could bleach them. And Elijah appeared to them together with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. An amazing sneak peek. The Transfiguration takes place. Peter and James and John are there on that mountain alone with Jesus. And all of a sudden there's a metamorphosis. That's the Greek word. All of a sudden, things look different. Now, from our point of view, Jesus changed. I suppose from God's point of view, he just went back to normal. As that glory begins to shine, as we are reminded through the pages of the Gospels that his face becomes radiant, bright as lightning, his clothes begin to gleam and to shine, and Mark makes the point of reminding us that this is whiter than anybody on this earth is going to be able to make them. This is absolutely amazing as we get this sneak peek at the glory of our Lord and our God. And then suddenly he's not alone anymore. Now you have Moses and Elijah. Moses, the great Old Testament preacher of the law, the one who had said, there's going to be a prophet from among your brothers like me. That's the one you need to listen to. This is the one that Jesus has come into this world to fulfill. He's pulled back the veil that Paul described in the second lesson. He did not come to undo Moses. He didn't come to replace Moses and the law that was given through Moses. He came to fulfill it. He did all the things that you and I were unable to do. And now Moses sees the fulfillment of what he looked forward to. Elijah, the great Old Testament prophet of repentance, who busily was trying to call his people back to their Lord and their God. Here is the one that he had been looking forward to. Here's the great preacher of repentance as Jesus goes and proclaims the kingdom of heaven and calls people to repentance. He's the one who can bring them back. He's the one who reconnects them to God the Father. He's the one who has the glory to carry out this work. Luke is the one who tells us what they were talking about. As these three were talking back and forth and discussing amongst themselves, Luke says they were talking about, and this is a neat word, talking about Jesus' exodus. That he was about to leave Jerusalem through his suffering and through his death. They were talking about Jesus' work. The reason Jesus came. Rejoicing in what they didn't get to see in their lifetimes, but now see in fulfillment. We get a sneak peek. And that's what a sneak peek is for, right? It gives you just a little bit. Just enough to pique your interest, just enough to make you pay attention, just enough to make you want to learn some more. We get this sneak peek of what it would be like to be standing around Jesus in all of his glory. No longer covered in human flesh, no longer veiled in his humility, but that glory that he has is God shining forth. We get a little sneak peek of what it might have been like to be one of the saints in glory. We're not told that as Peter, James, and John were there on the mountain that Jesus said, oh, by the way, I'd like to introduce you, Peter, James, John. Here's Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah, Peter, James, and John. They just kind of seem to know. Perhaps a little sneak peek of what it's going to be like when we get to the glories of heaven. It would appear that we will know the things we need to know, and we know those people even if we've never met them. Sort of like that little carrot dangling out there before you to make you keep your eyes on the goal. We get a sneak peek. Now, one of the dangers of those sneak peeks, however, is we sometimes like them so much that we want to hang on to them. And that seems to be what Peter wants to be doing. Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what to say because they were terrified. As somebody once made the comment, leave it to Peter. He didn't know what to say, but he said it anyway. Come up with some words, let it blurt out. This is absolutely amazing. He is absolutely flabbergasted by what he is seeing. It is good to be here. And can you blame him? We just sang a hymn by that title. How amazing it is to stand in Jesus' presence, to see the glory of our Lord and our God. And he wants to hold on to it. Wants to keep it going. And again, you can't blame him. Certainly well-meaning. I really do think that if you and I happened to be there, we asked Peter why he said what he said, that he would not say, well, I was trying to find a way to keep Jesus from doing his work and trying to prevent others from coming into his kingdom. I don't think that's what he would have said. But think about what would have happened had Jesus taken the suggestion. First of all, it's a very selfish thing. There's no mention of, can I quick go get the other nine? Can I bring them up so they can take part in this too? What about everybody else who would like to see the glory of God? He was disinterested in keeping it going, holding on to this little piece of heaven on earth, making this place a wonderful place to be. Let's hold on to it. And had it happened, it would have been disastrous. Had the tents been set up, there would have been no redemption. There would have been no payment for sin. There would have been no heaven. When you think about it, this was just another one of those temptations aimed at your perfect substitute, like all the other temptations. Next Sunday, when you and I come back for the first Sunday in Lent, we'll have a chance to watch Jesus do battle with Satan. And as they are in that desert, you remember that one of those temptations was Satan saying, just bow down, just worship me, and then I'll give all of this to you. And it's yours anyway, right? Why go through the pain? Why go through the suffering? Just go right for the glory. Much the same temptation that Jesus had after the feeding of the 5,000. They wanted to make him king. Why not? Feed him. Everybody will be happy. Go for the glory. Forget all the pain. Forget all the suffering. Basically the same temptation as 6 days earlier. No, this will never happen to you. Now one more temptation to just stay in the glory. You've got it now. It's always been yours. You know you're going to have it again later. Just keep it. Just do it now. Just stay here. And if that had happened, you and I would be lost forever. And then all of a sudden, the sneak peek is all you'd get. And you'd lose the eternal glory that Jesus came to win. Anytime you and I come up with works of love and devotion, apart from the Word, it always gets in the way of Christ's saving work. You take a look at the history throughout the church, you take a look at your own history, and there's probably these well-meaning things, something that you wanted to do, something that you wanted to try, some attitude that you had, something that you would say. And the moment you come up with something that is not commanded in the Word, that is not backed up by what God says in His holy word, inevitably starts to stand in the way of Christ. And now my salvation becomes dependent on this word that I think I need to repeat. It becomes dependent on this place that I always want to go. It becomes dependent on this attitude or this feeling that I'm trying to foster. As well-meaning as it is, it replaces the only Savior from sin was something that I'm trying to do and something I'm trying to say. Any work of love and devotion apart from the Word basically just continues to encourage the sinner to remain in his sin. We may call it love. We may call it tolerance. We may call it trying to be nice. We may call it trying not to put a roadblock so that they can't hear me later. And we end up just encouraging that sin, and we'll end up smiling at them and patting them on the back. It'll be okay, and ushering them into hell. Whenever we come up with something that we think we need to do, apart from the Word, it's our attempt to keep this little heaven on earth, to try to hold on to that glory, and then we end up trading eternal glory for a little bit of temporary glee at the moment. Don't let this sneak peek do that. In the sneak peek, you and I get the opportunity to be reminded once again who Jesus is. A cloud appeared and overshadowed them, and a voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my Son whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Who is this? This sneak peek allows you and me to see again who this is. This is none other than the Son of God. As you've already come to notice, as you and I go through the Epiphany season, we have these bookends. We start the first Sunday after the Epiphany with Jesus' baptism and the booming voice that comes from the cloud. "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Now at the end of the Epiphany season and near the end of Jesus' ministry on that earth, that same cloud comes back again and that same booming voice comes again. "This is my Son, the one that I love. Listen to him." Listen to him. Perhaps that's what we could put on our church. If you're looking for some words, maybe as on right on the other side of those doors, as you come into the worship facility, you can have "Listen to Him." And then on this side of the doors, as you're going back out, that's where it can say "Go and tell." Listen to Him. Come in here, listen to the Son of God. Listen to the One who is the very Son of the Heavenly Father. Listen to the One who is full of grace and truth. Listen to the One who is the exact representation of His glory, as you and I get a sneak peek of that glory of the Son of God. And listen to Him. And then it seems, as quick as all of this happened, it quickly came to an end. And all of that glory is now veiled in flesh once again, and Jesus goes back to normal from our point of view. And He tells His disciples, "Now don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody what's going on here until the Son of Man rises from the dead." Not only is He the Son of God, He's also the Son of Man. He's also the One who stepped into this world and placed Himself under the law so He could fulfill what Moses had said. He is the One who placed Himself under the just judgment of the Heavenly Father so that you and I would never have to pay it. He is the One who is going to suffer and He's going to die. Here He just simply mentions rising from the dead, but you can't do that unless you die first. That's why this sneak peek is given to us, so that you know what's coming. Think about a movie that you've seen. Think about a television show that you perhaps watched. Every now and then you turn that on and they kind of go to the end of the story. They start at the beginning of the show with the end. They give you a little sneak peek of how all of this is going to wrap up, and then the next scene's got the phrase along the bottom that says 3 weeks earlier or 3 hours earlier, and proceeds to give you the story. How are we going to get to that little sneak peek that you just saw? We get a sneak peek. Jesus needed it. As true man in a state of humiliation, He knew He was about to face the sufferings and the pain and the agony and the rejection. He knew all of that was coming. And so the Heavenly Father allows Him the sneak peek of the glory. As God, He already knows it. The glory that He's always had, the glory He still has, the glory He's going to have. But as He goes through that suffering and as He goes to that cross, remember how this ends. Remember where we're headed. The disciples needed that sneak peek. Jesus plainly told them, "I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die, I'm going to rise again." They seem to keep missing that third part. So as they watch Jesus go to that cross, as they see Him die, as they watch Him being buried, remember how this ends. Remember that glory that is hidden, that sneak peek of the glory that's still to come. We need the sneak peek. This Wednesday we start walking the path to the cross again. We follow our Lord and our Savior from the mountain of transfiguration to the hill called Golgotha. We watch our Lord and our Savior, who appears to be losing control, who dies, who's buried. Remember how this ends. Remember the sneak peek. Remember the glory that's there. We also need it because as you and I go through our own lives, perhaps our own weaknesses, our own sicknesses, our own struggles, remember how this ends. That glory that you had a sneak peek of, that glory that is our Lord and our Savior's, that's your glory. We don't have it yet. We're not going to have heaven on earth yet. But that glory is yours. When it appears as if the church is struggling, as if God's people are becoming fewer and fewer, and the Word is no longer being proclaimed, and it seems as if the world is winning, remember how this ends. You've got the sneak peek. That church looks more like Christ on this side of the cross at the moment. But God in His amazing grace is going to make sure that His church shares in that glory. The glory of His resurrection. That's coming. That's why we need this sneak peek. Amen.